right. Rob Cohen and I are on a...
Well, we're on a roll. We're talking about all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. Can we have a sidebar, Your Honor?
We got to talk about... I hardly endorse this product and or sidebar.
So, Catherine Bigelow, best known for being the award-winning director behind her war propaganda movies, The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. I like her earlier work on Homicide, Life on the Street, shows like Wild Palms, and movies like Strange Days and Blue Still and Near Dark, and K-19, The Widowmaker. She's also had a few others that really make me scratch my head. She's done an obscure movie that was one of William Dafoe's first movies that's basically a tribute to Marlon Brando's The Wild One. And I feel like she's both a very important voice and at the same time, a very formulaic type of scripter. And she seems to be getting a lot of these just over the top, you know, redundant torture-based movies recently. And that's where I'll let you transition with this
one. Yeah, well, this one's going to be super simple because I've been talking about Catherine Bigelow for, 2012 to 2010 years, I guess.
Saying you made a better overrated movie than your ex-husband's Avatar isn't really exactly high praise.
Yeah. So, first of all, though, when I was younger, I thought Near Dark was a masterpiece, and I still do. I think it's an incredible, great film.
It holds up.
I love it.
But yeah.
I love Near Dark, and I like Strange Days. But basically, in my world, and this is me, and people are different, there are certain things that if you do them, you don't get away with them. And unless you repent and apologize, I'm never letting you off the hook.
Just like I am with J.J. Abrams stealing from
there
everybody.
You go. I agree. J.J. Abrams has crossed that line.
Please stop.
Far too many times. Don't get me started on turning Star Trek into Star Wars. But anyway. Anyway, let's just stick to this. So,
yes,
here it is in just short shrift. Zero Dark Thirty is torture porn propaganda.
Yes, it is.
It asserts the idea that torture works. Fuck you forever. You don't get off the hook. You are not forgiven. And if you don't apologize and repent and say that it was wrong for you to do that, then you are forever banished and do not deserve any credit or attention for anything else. You're scum and you don't belong at the table.
And screw that screenwriter who was banned from the Oscars, who kept trying to nominate it. It's like, dude, you're going to win anyway. So stop trying to inflict the vote to be raised a bit. But yes, I do agree with the Guardian's 1 out of 5-star review on how it's just a dreary, just redundant. It just keeps stating the obvious to you. It's like, torture is wrong. I'm like, I know. I watched 24.
And I don't hold them to the same level of disdain, but I have some serious, you know, annoyance with Jessica Chastain and other members of that cast. I'm like, why the fuck did you make that movie? There's no excuse for it. You should have known better. That's not cool.
And aside from the fact that, again, we came here to see the Osama bin Laden raid, and you film it all in the dark, and I will never understand why people want to film stuff in the dark. That's not suspenseful. Right. It doesn't engage, and don't have it be in the last 2 minutes of what you're
doing. I'm totally open to people calling me out and saying I'm full of shit on that point.
I've been told me to go fuck myself every day.
You're welcome to your own point of view. I have nothing else to say about Catherine Bigelow except fuck you forever.
K-19, it's pretty good, but god damn it. Can you tell your actors to adopt Russian accents for once?
All right, there you go.
But yes, she's like a free five hit a quitta in my book, and that's about it. I really, The Hurt Locker, it's semi-watchable, but it's also just very, again, we talk about formulaic. It really doesn't bring anything new to the war table. Half the time,
yeah,
I'm like...
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised it won. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, she's a...
You'll never guess what the common defense I heard from it was. I would see some people say, this is a very boring-ass movie with one-dimensional characters. And I saw some people saying, oh, it's trying to show how boring war is. I'm like, really? That's your best defense?
I don't know if it's how boring war is or how boring.
We know it can be boring, but you got to at least tell the audience, you know, make it interesting. Let us know that you're in on the joke. But I think it's just a boring speed in the Middle East. That's really all it is. It's just this guy. And I did love how it made several lists of the most unrealistic war movies. Like, yeah. I remember they would get former Marines and Navy SEALs and even other former bomb disarmers.
Right. Since this isn't really about Catherine Bigelow, I'll weigh in on that, because what you just reminded me of is also American Sniper. And what I see between those two films is it's not that war is boring. It's that if you're a cold-hearted killer 24/7, or you're dealing with bombs and the near-death experience 24/7, then your inner world, part of you, has to go numb. And so your inner world becomes boring, and you see how flat those characters are. And they tried to make them heroic for being flat, but I just can't see it that way.
It's not very cinematic.
It's tragic that their lives are crushed into flatness by this horrific situation they've been put into. I see no glory in it.
It should have been more like Private Ryan or even The Deer Hunter. It should have been more like, show us the agony, show us this. And instead, they pretty much, again, anytime you see a gory explosion, it's just to get an easy frill, like Criminal Minds. It's like, no. This is a gore fest now. This isn't what it's supposed to be, which is, I can't look away. I'm seeing a terrible incident, and I want to know why it happened and how it could have been avoided and why it couldn't be avoided. And
it's gotten a lot of pop, a lot of notice lately because it's been re-released, but have you seen Come and See, the Russian film?
I can definitely praise that one, because that definitely is a perfect example of just showing how just about everybody's a soldier there, you know, former farm boys, other pedestrians who happen to pick up a gun.
In a sense, though, it's not even a war film. It's just a war atrocity film. And it's very dark. And
I didn't watch it for the longest time.
Everything is.
Because I would see people show clips and it's like, no. Just like seeing a clip from The Wire, you got to see it all in the proper context. You got to actually sit down.
I mean, I always warn people, remember the last 5 minutes of the film, it's Soviet, so it uses all of that to justify the heroes marching off to war. But other than that, it's just a brilliant movie just showing just how just awful war is.
Kind of like Paths of Glory, how it just shows how basically these guys have a terrible strategy and come home from World War One only to be prosecuted for running away. It's like,
it just shows the lack of care for human life by the people in authority.
Right. And like you say, it has a voice, and you can discuss endless, more than 20 different instances and scenes that resonate with you instead of these movies, which kind of just anger you because there wasn't enough care put into them. Like, I find Survivor.
Remember, there's huge money that comes from the military industrial complex into Hollywood.
Yeah, we're still, the largest spending is on defense contracting, even though we've asked, hey, let's end all the wars. But
people think it's just part of our culture, but it's not. Like, you watch football or the Super Bowl and all those commercials and all that.
You can't go a day without a Navy ad.
The military literally pays for all of that. It's all commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of these films are. They just pay for these scripts, and we have one coming out this week. Fuck Tom Cruise and his military porn extravaganza, Top Gun. That's all it is.
Oh yeah, and everyone's. I saw all the media going crazy. They're like, finally a mindless movie. I'm like, I want to go movies because I want to be engaged, not to turn my brain off.
I will say this too, real quick, because I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of people going, these fuckers then clearly don't understand the importance of a military, and they're just pussies. I will say this. I understand the necessity of a military, but it's not something that it's necessary because of a problem, not because any great, advancement of the term is necessary evil. I'm not saying the military is evil per se, but it's just because there's evil, there's a necessity for a military, but we don't have to get down on our knees and jack off and praise it 24/7 because,
and then find other reasons to keep going and sending more people out for the next five decades.
Exactly, because, you know, it's, you know, their profits are going to drop if we don't have the need to supply some more ships, guns, and, you know, whatever.
And unfortunately, it is very systematic. We're going to keep seeing racial tirades and tension build out. We're going to keep seeing oil barons take office.
All right, well, now we're officially the liberal commie podcast, but whatever.
Right, or the alternative to the Young Turks. But, yeah, and I'm with you. Like, American Sniper, I was very dismayed because, you know, I thought, okay, it'll be kind of a realistic version of Shooter or something. I was like, no, it's basically, it is kind of the same torture porn. Where did that guy with the who was drilling stuff into kids' heads come from? That No.
Well, let's just reel it back into Catherine Bigelow for a second.
Yeah, so she started the trend of these.
Wait, hold on. We're off on all these different movies, and yes, I can say I like war films. Somebody else doesn't like war films, or I love them when they're good. let's praise the military. If that's your thing, fine. But we know that torture doesn't work, and not only is it against every code of military ethics because of what it does to the enemy, everyone also in the military knows that when you do that, you put your own troops in the position of also being tortured, which makes it doubly disgusting. And that's why, in terms of, you know, I may not like Top Gun and think it's, you know, pathetic and gross, but Zero Dark 30 is a crime against humanity, and I will not say anything other than that.
And it treats the audience like an idiot by stating all these different arguments and then not taking a side and then just acting like it's smarter than the average bear. It's like, no shit, Sherlock. We know torture is wrong. Why are you using it? Oh, that's right, because your Navy SEAL's on a CIA mission and you're breaking every law overseas. I get it. So you're glamorizing it. So, yes. Really, of all the recent war movies I've liked, the only really one that I've liked has been Lone Survivor, because that one was just straightforward and doctored very little. And it was just like, okay, it's a rescue mission that went wrong. And then they tried to survive in the wilderness and got even more ambushed and basically obliterated. Perfect.
There you go.
Instead of, oh, I'm going to save the day because I discovered my inner Rambo after 2 hours of pouting. It's like, no. A movie has zero suspense if you are invincible. And again, you know, unless the whole point of the movie is to be invincible, like John Wick, then don't do it. Just don't do it. And
Top Gun is nothing but, the reason why Top Gun in particular is porn is because it's just literally
two guys.
It's glamorizing and putting, you know, sexy on every aspect of every plane and every person in the cast. It's just all sexy military up the yin yang, and it's propaganda porn.
At the end of the day, you want to say, I want to drive a cycle or
you know, take my Roger Waters in his album
Pink Floyd.
Well, it's not a Pink Floyd album, it's his solo album.
Oh, solo, okay.
Amused to Death, there's a line where he literally says, you know, fuck that scene where the hero takes his blue jeans out of the freezer is a lyric in the album.
Yeah. Waters was always a progressive who saw
people who like complain now about, oh my God, Roger Waters, he's ruining the music by being political. Well, you never listen to the music because he's always been political.
Pink Floyd was always political. Come on, hello.
Yeah.
Children. Leave these kids alone.
Thank you for letting me get that off my chest, Cameron.
I'm glad we were able to do this. Someone had to do it, because I know if anyone else on there, they would literally be inviting me to jerk off. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to praise this shitty war movies that are ruining the genre.
We are in agreement.
We are in agreement.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.